Hi, this is Max McLean. Why is Christmas the second biggest event in the Christian calendar? What is behind its festivity and joy? Today, on this extended version of Listen to the Bible, we will listen to the Christmas narratives and explore the size and magnitude of Christmas. When we hear the Christmas story, do we really feel the weight of what is happening? Is it just a nice, sweet story? Well, yes, but it is also the most overwhelming expression of love that ever happened to the human race. Do we see that? Let me begin with an unexpected Christmas scripture passage. 1 John 1 says, "That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked at and our hands have touched, this we proclaim concerning the word of life. The life appeared, we have seen it and testified to it, and we proclaim to you the eternal life which was with the Father and has appeared to us. We proclaim to you what we have seen and heard, so that you also may have fellowship with us. And our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. We write this to make our joy complete." What John is telling us is that a huge event has just taken place. Did you miss it? It's an event so big that it changes everything. Nothing will ever be the same again. Why? Because the infinite, eternal being who created all things decided to pay us a visit. The immortal, invisible, King of Kings, God of Gods decided to knock on our front door and to get to know us, to ask us questions, to find out about our hurts, our pains. And he did not come with an entourage of angels in all their glory and splendor. He sneaked in at night, not as a prince, but as a pauper, catching the whole world by surprise. And John is telling us this. "I met him. I was there. I saw him turn water into wine. I saw him take 5 loaves and 2 fish and feed 5,000 families. I saw him walk on water. I heard him say that he is the truth, the way, and the life, and that nobody can get out of this sinful place except through him. I watched him cure diseases, make the lame walk, the deaf hear, the blind see. I saw him raise the dead. I saw him crucified and murdered. I saw him come to life again, walk through doors. I touched his pierced hands. I heard him say, 'I am making everything new. Follow me.'" At its core, Christmas is a reminder of all that God went through to get to know us personally. And the big question is this: if God has done all that to get to know us, to become real to us, do you begin to understand all he is doing to help us come to him? And how much he is willing to endure to help us have a relationship with him? In high school, do you remember having a crush on someone? Do you recall the things you would do to get that person's attention? You would arrange whatever had to be done to coincidentally pass by her locker at just the precise moment she would be there. And do you remember how you felt when that person took notice of you, smiled, gave you a little signal to let you know that she might be interested in getting to know you a little bit? Have you ever experienced a more amazing feeling? And wouldn't you do anything to encourage these receptive responses? Christmas is like that, because Christmas tells us all that God has done to get our attention, so that we might start to pay attention to him. Listen to the Christmas story. "Comfort, comfort my people, says your God. Speak tenderly to Jerusalem and proclaim to her that her hard service has been completed, that her sin has been paid for. A shoot will come out from the stump of Jesse. From his roots a branch will bear fruit. The Spirit of the Lord will rest on him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and of power, the Spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord. He will not judge by what he sees with his eyes, or decide by what he hears with his ears, but with righteousness he will judge the needy. With justice he will give decisions for the poor of the earth. The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of the shadow of death, a light has dawned. For to us a child is born, and to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him, all things were made. Without him, nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, but the darkness has not understood it. He was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet to all who receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision, or of a husband's will, but born of God. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. Many have undertaken to draw up an account of the things that have been fulfilled among us, just as they were handed down to us by those who from the first were eyewitnesses and servants of the Word. Therefore, since I myself have carefully investigated everything from the beginning, it seemed good also to me to write an orderly account for you, so that you may know the certainty of the things you have been taught. God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you." Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will be with child and give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. His kingdom will never end." "How will this be?" Mary asked the angel, "since I am a virgin." The angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. For nothing is impossible with God. I am the Lord's servant, Mary answered. May it be to me as you have said. Then the angel left her. And Mary said, My soul glorifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he has been mindful of the humble state of his servant. From now on, all generations will call me blessed, for the Mighty One has done great things for me. Holy is his name. In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria, and everyone went to his own town to register. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger. Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men on whom his favor rests. When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about. So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby, who was lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. God did all this to get to know us personally. Therefore, if God would come all this way for you, how much more will he do when you begin to draw near to him? Christmas is an invitation to draw near to God. Christmas is celebrating all that God has done to make himself known to us. It is God's way of modeling the kind of relationship he wants to have with us and for us to have with each other. Christmas is about entering into another person's world for the purpose of building a relationship. Let me give you an example. My pastor, Dr. Timothy Keller, gave this illustration recently. Suppose a couple comes into a counseling session because they've been fighting, their relationship is broken, it needs to be fixed. And suppose the cause of this relationship is that they were arguing about how to raise their kids. The wife says, I need more help with the kids. The husband says, There should be a division of labor. My job is to work hard all day and to be the breadwinner. Raising the kids is your job. But after probing a little bit, you find that in the wife's childhood home, her dad showed his love by helping mom with the kids. Whereas in the husband's childhood home, her mom showed her love to his dad by making sure the kids were well taken care of. So in the wife's world, she saw her dad taking care of the kids as an expression of love for his mom. But in the husband's world, daddy didn't have to take care of the kids. That would be a signal of disrespect and lack of love, because his mom showed his dad great respect and love by taking care of the kids for him. So how does one resolve a dispute like this? Someone has to remember Christmas. Someone has to enter the other person's world. Who will model Jesus and humble himself and enter the other person's world? If both say, I'm not going into the other person's world, then they won't have a relationship. But if you follow the way of Christmas and try to understand the other's love language, not what you consider love, but what they consider love, you begin to understand Christmas. You begin to get an understanding of what Jesus did when he became a baby in a manger in Bethlehem a long time ago. And if you get this and put this into practice, you are expressing the true meaning of Christmas. Now, we know that's hard. We struggle to get emotionally involved with other people to that degree. We pull back. But Christmas challenges us to enter in. Jesus got involved in our lives. He learned our love language. He wept for us. He was pierced for us. And when we understand the radical nature of Christ's love for us, that begins to change us. It makes us willing to take a risk and enter into the lives of others. We know it's going to hurt. We know we're going to be disappointed. But because Christ says, follow me, we go. When the time of their purification according to the law of Moses had been completed, Joseph and Mary took Jesus to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. Now there was a man in Jerusalem called Simeon, who was righteous and devout. He was waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not die before he had seen the Lord's Christ. Moved by the Spirit, he went to the temple courts. When the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him what the custom of the law required, Simeon took him in his arms and praised God, saying, Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, you now dismiss your servant in peace, for my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the sight of all people, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for glory to your people Israel. The child's father and mother marveled at what was said about him. Then Simeon blessed them and said to Mary, his mother, This child is destined to cause the falling and rising of many in Israel, and to be a sign that will be spoken against, so that the thoughts of many hearts will be revealed, and a sword will pierce your own soul too. This prophecy was fulfilled many years later when they bound Jesus, led him away, and handed him over to Pilate. Are you the king of the Jews? Asked Pilate. Jesus answered, You are right in saying I am a king. In fact, for this reason I was born, and for this I came into the world, to testify to the truth. The chief priest accused him of many things. So again Pilate asked him, Aren't you going to answer? See how many things they are accusing you of? What shall I do then with the one you call the king of the Jews? Pilate asked them. Crucify him, they shouted. Why? What crime has he committed? Asked Pilate. But they shouted all the louder, Crucify him! Wanting to satisfy the crowd, he had Jesus flogged and handed him over to be crucified. The soldiers led Jesus away into the palace, that is, the praetorium, and called together the whole company of soldiers. They put a purple robe on him. They twisted together a crown of thorns and set it on him. And they began to call out to him, "Hail, King of the Jews!" Again and again they struck him on the head with a staff and spit on him. Falling on their knees, they worshipped him. And when they had mocked him, they took off the purple robe and put his own clothes on him. Then they led him out to crucify him. It was the third hour when they crucified him. The written notice of the charge against him read, "The King of the Jews." At the sixth hour, darkness came over the whole land until the ninth hour. And at the ninth hour, Jesus cried out in a loud voice, "Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani," which means, my God, why have you forsaken me?" With a loud cry, Jesus breathed his last. Christmas shows us all that God has done to get us to draw close to him and to get to know him personally. He wants to become so real to us that we will be irresistibly drawn to him. When we consider all that Christ has done for us, then we begin to understand the size of Christmas, the magnitude of Christmas. Christ entered our world and paid a huge price. And when we understand the price Jesus paid for us, it changes us so that we are free to enter into other people's world and to be an ambassador for Jesus. And as we share the joy that we have in Christmas, we share Christ. And when we share our joy in Christ so that another person gets it, that makes our joy complete. Let me close with this scripture. If you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, if any comfort from his love, if any fellowship with his Spirit, if any tenderness and compassion, then make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit and purpose. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, but in humility consider others better than yourselves. Each of you should look not only to your own interest, but also to the interest of others. Your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus, who, being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness and being found in appearance as a man. He humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on a cross. Therefore God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Merry Christmas. And listen to the Bible. It's great for the soul.